Welcome back to another Community Voices story. I'm Bea Bonner from NPR Illinois. Today I'm talking with Reggie Guyden, Nicole Pittman, and Casey Cantrell as they prepare this week for the opening of their show, Memphis the Musical.
Hi, thanks for having us, Bea.
Hello.
Thank you.
Alrighty, so jumping right in, please tell us what you all are doing in the show, any role, any part you play. Go ahead.
So I'm actually directing. I'm Reggie, by the way. I'm directing and making a brief cameo on stage.
Yeah.
Brief.
I'm Casey, and I play Huey Calhoun.
The lead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Nicole. I'm vocal directing, so teaching all the music to everybody, making them sound fabulous.
All right, but jumping right into another question. I know a lot of people, I don't really know the show that well, and I know a lot of our audience may not know this show that well. So go ahead and give us a synopsis of the show and tell us what Memphis the Musical is all about.
Sure. Well, Memphis the Musical opens in 1952 on Memphis, Tennessee, on Beale Street, which is a historic epicenter of Black culture and even civil rights. And we enter in this underground club that's owned by Del Rey Farrell, and it features his sister, Felicia Farrell, and it's a typical Friday night. It's a juke joint. It's lots of great music. And then all of a sudden, things kind of come to a halt because there's a white man that just walks down into the place, and it's Huey Calhoun.
That's me.
And it's a shock to the system, obviously, because at this time it's a segregated America, very unfortunately bigoted. So people are like, maybe you should leave, you know. We normally just have to slip cash to the cops and go about our business. But he's all about the music. And
yeah, it doesn't really matter to me what kind of people are in what kind of club. I just walked in because I heard good music. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's what Huey's all about, you know. Good times, good music, you know.
Not just listening, but his whole goal is to share that music with everybody.
Be a part of it.
Yeah, yeah, to take this, you know, what would be considered by most good Christians, you know, as I said in the show, race music, and play it for a wide audience, and play it for a white audience more than just, you know, a small portion of the Black community, and to share that with everybody.
And Huey knows the importance of it, because over and over again, he keeps saying he was going to get her right in the center of the radio dial, because that's all the Black stations are either on opposite ends, you know. So he's wanting that prime real estate right in the center of the radio dial to, you know, get the music out and really get his name out too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a little bit of a little bit of selfishness in Huey, a little bit, you know, because he wants to be a big name as well.
Sure,
you know,
but has this love for Felicia and her voice and her spirit, and that kind of drives their romantic relationship, which was a big taboo back then. You know, it wasn't even legal for people of different races to be married. Mm-hmm. This was before, you know, Loving versus, you know, all of that, the Supreme Court decision. So
even before segregation, you know, or before integration actually was legal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
So you all talked a lot about interracial and Jim Crow laws and segregation and all of that. And we know that was a big part of our history over here in the United States.
Absolutely.
And even in other places.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, how historically accurate is this show?
Oh, that's a very good question. Mm-hmm. So there are definitely historic anecdotes mentioned throughout the times. We mentioned Dick Clark. We mentioned
Rosa Parks,
right. Not by name, but by situation. And it's pretty historically accurate because it's art imitates real life, and unfortunately it's
everybody is opposed to their relationship on both sides, you know. Huey's mother is completely against it. Felicia's brother is completely against it because he knows how dangerous it is for them to be involved in this relationship, and they don't care, you know. This music, this thing bonds them and drives that and kind of helps unite. And there's moments in the show where you see that. It's where, you know, very segregated groups of, you know, teenagers dancing come together and have this time together, united by this music that Huey put on the radio and got Felicia to sing. And, you know,
I think it's an important show
to be seen
and to experience, because a lot of things are difficult to talk about, especially nowadays. You know, and to see the not the plight, but the experience of being there. You know, and seeing these characters and what they have to go through and all of the different, you know, things they have to overcome. It's an important thing to definitely be a part of. And I'm glad to be a part of it, I'm for sure, you know.
Another thing that I'd like to mention is that this is actually loosely based off of a real life disc jockey named Dewey Phillips. And he was playing race music race music with quotes on the air, and he had to go so far as to say what high school he went to make sure that people would know that he
was actually white
because mm-hmm. the high schools were still segregated at this time. And he was actually known for getting Elvis's music on the air.
Yeah, he was one of the first to put Elvis's music on the air.
Right, which is a whole nother can of worms in itself, but we'll stay away from that today.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about a lot of tough subjects, and especially right now in the time we're in, a lot of these things are coming back up as we look. I think it was just, they said it was about 55 years ago.
This year.
Yep.
That segregation, you know.
There are people who are going to be in the audience who will have lived, who will have been young adults and teenagers during the time that this show is taking place. So this is not something that's so far behind. And there are a lot of instances today where we still have that segregation. Yes, it's no longer, you know, a legal thing, but Springfield itself is an incredibly segregated city. When you, there's a clear divide between, you know, not just race, but socioeconomic status has a lot to do with it, which is touched on in the show as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And 55 years later, we're still seeing those invisible divides. So it will maybe highlight some of those issues and help people cross that divide and have more open and engaging discussion about that.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I think, my personal goal as a director is to prompt open discussion about some of these topics, because we don't really have an outlet to voice the hurt, the inequity, the experience of being discriminated against. And by having these open conversations, we can begin to heal those wounds. And that's a very important process and a very delicate process. So we have to start doing that.
And there's a lot of people that live today that don't really understand that this still happens.
Yes.
And I think it's important that they understand that it does still happen. And the show definitely, you know, hits it right to the home, you know, so.
Well, since you're addressing such tough topics, how did you all prepare to direct, to act, to be vocal director for such a show as this? How can you make sure that the proper story is being told, you know?
Well, I mean, this is a musical, so the majority of the story is told through the music of the show. And, you know, teaching that, there's so many different genres. It's 1950s, it's the start of rock and roll, there's R&B, there's gospel, there's some kind of country and folk in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters take these songs, and those are their monologues, those are their opportunities to get that feeling across. So really delving into the emotion and how you're supposed to feel and what you're supposed to convey to the audience during these songs. You know, a lot of character development goes into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that when I sing some of the songs as Huey, it's like I'm finally given a voice to kind of, you know, say things that, you know, I've always had in the back of my head, but then haven't really had a medium to do so, mm-hmm. you know. And so, I mean, preparing for this role has been, it's been one of the most fulfilling ones I've ever done. Because usually when you're doing a role, you're trying to do the best you can, you know, follow direction and, you know, just try to have fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But with this show, after every single rehearsal that we've had, I've always gone away feeling like, yeah, you know, we've all learned something important, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
for me, getting into this process, first off, I just want to say that, like, most of it, like, was just by exploring and trying to find stories that were meaningful and dignified for Black people, to be honest with you. I've noticed that a lot of times in theater, we tend to lean towards things that
we're reduced to stereotypes.
We are.
We're playing slaves, we're playing the help, even in Springfield, mm-hmm. you know, when they're looking for shows that cast people of color, a lot of those roles are where things gravitate. And this just mm-hmm. gives us an opportunity to tell our story.
It's mm-hmm. so nice to be able to perform in a space, in a show that's about, centered around our space, which is our music, which is our heart and our soul and our experience, and being able to vocalize that. And I was starved for that. I was really starved for hearing those stories. I was really starved for feeling those stories that weren't necessarily rooted in trauma or pain, but still could make you feel something. And even though this touches on trauma of the nation, it's not just
that's
us.
That's not the core of it.
Exactly. And it's not just us going through it. It's a tug of war because everybody's feeling it. At one point, Gladys, Huey's mom, gets a brick thrown through her window.
That's right.
You know, it's, and that's a whole thing in itself. So being able to not only talk about the history of what our nation has experienced, and but also cope with my current experience and the past experiences that I've had as an actor and a director, has been therapeutic, because it gives it an outlet, again, for healing, to be able to talk about those issues transparently and frankly. Also, off the record, it's just been really nice to also be able to interact with other Black artists too.
In a concentrated space.
Yes, yes.
There's not a lot of that. There's not a lot of opportunity for Black artists in this area.
Yeah.
Because we're not a majority, and you know, you need the people who are wanting to tell the stories reflecting who the stories are about. You know, having
exactly.
a staff. We have an all-Black staff, which is something that I don't think has really ever been done in the Springfield area. Mm-mm. And being able to have that and to tell that story from that firsthand experience makes a huge difference in how that is relayed, I think, across the stage.
Especially when you're talking about being in Black spaces of culture. And this isn't against anyone who has done a show regarding Black culture, but people, we've lived through this, you know what I mean? And we've felt the weight of all of that. So
I
think
it's a different feeling.
It is. When you can take all of that and then create something beautiful out of it, it's just, it's, that's the triumph of the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a lot.
That was well said,
yeah.
Reggie.
Yeah. I'm taking it all in. And I think one thing that excites me, of course, I am a Black female. Mm-hmm. And being in some of these spaces can be really awkward for me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just have to push and get through it. But as a member of like the theater community and even the music community, it's always beautiful to have some stories that are always told, you know, opened up for the world to mm-hmm. see. And I think that's what excites me the most about your production. You're bringing new ideas and possibilities that someone in Springfield may not have had at first.
Yes.
Right.
You know, that representation is so important.
Absolutely.
As a person of color in a majority white space, and you understand this, you have to, you know, alter yourself, the way you speak, the way you dress, the way you carry yourself to fit into spaces and to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And that is not something that we have felt we've had to do this entire production.
Right.
And it's an amazing feeling. And we want other people to feel that. We want
exactly.
people to come and sit in the audience and look and say, that person on stage looks like me. I can do the same thing. I can mm-hmm. have that fun. I can share this with everybody else mm-hmm. and it'll be accepted.
I think the other aspect of this too is that like we've naturally been able to just like immerse ourselves with other people too. It's not just a Black show and it's not just a white show. There's mm-hmm. there's so many people that are make up this grid, and we're so blessed to be working with them. Like, and it's sometimes hard to like be on the same page because we all have different communication styles when we're talking about communities and such. But when it gets down to it, we all really want the same thing, and that's to create a beautiful body of work and to enjoy ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to know each other in that process has been so beautiful and so amazing, and I'm thankful for it.
Break
Thank
legs
you.
And
Thank
all
you.
Good things.
Mm-hmm.
So before we go, why don't you tell our audience where they can go to get tickets, the dates, and all of that good stuff. Or
yes.
if you don't have it, give us the website so they can
sure.
get information.
Bam. So I have the phone number that you can call. It's Hoagland Center for the Arts, which is actually on 420 South 6th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call 217-523-ARTS. That's 217-523-ARTS.
Or you can check out hcfta.org and get your tickets. We open this Friday, the 23rd, and we play this weekend, Friday, Saturday at 8, Sunday at 2, and then the same next weekend on the 30th, 31st, and the 1st.
The last day is September 1st, so make sure you get your tickets.
Yes.
They're going fast.
Just come enjoy the show and enjoy the space. I do want to mention that Sunday we are actually going to be having a talk back after mm-hmm. the show, where we'll have a panel and an opportunity for discussion for people to sit down and talk about those ideas that we've talked about today. So, you know, get your tickets, come see the show, come support this amazing, talented, fabulous cast that's
yes,
worked so hard to put this
so
on.
They're so good. They're so good.
So great.
It's an important show, but it is also a very entertaining, wonderful play.
Yes.
Wonderful musical.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to be a part of it. You know,
glad to have you, man.
Well, thank you all for joining me today. We know the run of Memphis the Musical will be great, and everybody break a leg.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Bea Bonner with another Community Voices story.
Hockadoo.
Hockadoo.